Sunday morning. Welcome. It's Hashtag Everyone talking about Hashtag Everything. I'm Kate Doherty, and I've got my co-host, Keely Reger. And we are so excited this morning because we have Penny Ippinson with us, who is a local therapist right here in the Tri-States. But, you know, it's been a great week. Keely, how was your week?
My week was fantastic. I got to hang out with you and your hubby this weekend, and so it just kind of set the tone. But we are heading into a great session today, and I, too, am very excited about Penny being here because we've got a lot of misconceptions to talk about. We've got a lot of things that our community could really benefit from hearing, and I've got questions. So I think that's what's really cool is we get to have these fabulous people on here that open up a conversation, because Kate, you and I, that's how this all started.
Absolutely.
We started having conversations over the phone when I lived in Kansas City, and that's how this all kind of evolved, because we really feel like people need to be talking about these subjects, don't you think?
Well, I really do. And I think when it comes to therapy, when we look at there are so many different forms and types of therapy out there, and there are so many different therapists. And, you know, when you talk about relationships, my mom used to say, you know, every kettle has a lid. Well, you know what? I think when it comes to therapy, very often I hear people say, oh, I tried that. Or, oh, well, I went to one person and they made me mad, or I didn't like it. And I think those are really dangerous misnomers, because therapy, you know what? It's like trying on shoes. You got to find the right fit.
Not all therapists are equal.
Well, no. And for some of us, not for some of us, I mean, for many, I think when it comes to this subject, you people give it a one-shot wonder. And then they're done and they won't try it again.
Sure.
And I don't know that you always find the right fit. I think therapy is one of those things that it's kind of like trying on a pair of shoes. You're going to have to try on a couple different pairs. I mean, occasionally you might get lucky and slip on a pair of shoes and you're going to find exactly the right fit. But a lot of times when it comes to this particular topic, you're going to have to try a few different therapists and a few different forms of therapy before you find what's going to work for you in your particular situation or your child, whether it's a child or an adult.
I also think timing is key. So a specific therapist at a specific time in your life, where you're at in your season of life, with whatever is going on, I think that makes a big difference as well. So I think that as we get into this with Penny that we're just about to start in on and welcome her to the show, I think these are all things that we need to bring to the table.
Well, yeah, and I think also it's interesting because I loved what you said about, you know, it's a moment. So for some, it's a moment of time. For others, therapy is a lifelong. It's a
good
lifeline, kind of like
point.
Healthy eating or diet or exercise. It's a way.
It's a lifestyle
to keep yourself fit. Actually, years ago, and I'm kind of embarrassed to say this, but you know, let's go with it. Years ago, I had a friend who came from a family that had multiple divorce situations within her family. Actually, she's my best friend from college. And whenever she found a gentleman that she really loved, and she started going to counseling. And I was like, why are you going to counseling? You guys are happy. Everything's good. What's going on with you? Why would you do this? And she said, well, Kate, I want to continue to be healthy, and I don't have a solid base for that within my life. And I thought, ooh, gee. And I apologized, and I said, you know, I'm really sorry. I'm sorry that I said that. That actually makes sense to me. You're being proactive. And she said, well, that's kind of how I see it. So interesting enough, I can happily report she and her husband have now been married for 20-plus years. They have 4 gorgeous children. And you know what? They do still go to therapy, because even after 23 years, because of the family environment that she grew up and was raised in, she still wants to make sure she has a check. They go once a month. Yep. And she does it, what she calls it, a checkup from the neck up, and to make sure that they are being healthy as a family, because that wasn't what's exhibited. And, you know, kudos and hats off to her.
Oh, I love that she's putting that positive spin on things, because I think too many times therapy gets that negative connotation where, what's wrong with you? No. Mm-hmm. I want to keep doing the right things. And if I get a little off balance or step over the line, you know, maybe that therapist can kind of help me recenter. And so, I think that's really cool.
Yeah, I'm really proud of her. Just I hope you're watching this. Anyway, so Penny, you are actually amazing. I've got to tell you, think I met Penny, what, about 10 years ago?
It's been a while. And it's been wonderful.
And she is a local tri-state therapist, actually right here in Quincy. And one of the things that I love about Penny is her ability to relate to many different people. But furthermore, I love the fact that she does something called cognitive behavior therapy. And if I'm correct, you work predominantly with children and young adults, correct?
I do work a lot with children and adults, but with children and children and young people, you end up working with the adults and the parents and the family, and so it becomes like an all-inclusive package. And that's what I like most about my practice, is that I do work with all ages, even though my heart is in working with children, because that was what I was exposed to when I was going through my master's program and post-master's program. So, I work with all ages, but I like to approach therapy as it's a package. It's a group thing, because you don't work just as an individual. We all affect each other.
You know, I'm really glad that you actually just said that, because I recently just had a conversation with a school-based therapist. And one of the things that she does is she goes into classrooms and she observes children and their behaviors, and then makes recommendations. And one of the things she was talking about is, you know, she said, you know, Kate, very often I find what we do as adults is what's triggering the behavior mm-hmm. of the child. And so I love that you talked about, you know, yes, you know, I love children and that's my focus within my practice, but I do end up working with the parents, because I think that's one of the things when you talk about child-based therapy, very often we don't think about what we as grown-ups are doing or saying to kids, whether it's via our physical actions of modeling or what we're verbally saying. And I think that's a really important context for people to be aware of.
Mm-hmm. And I do. I love the dynamic of being able to go into my playroom and play with the kids and do some play therapy, et cetera. And then, the next day have the parents come in and we address, you know, marital issues, and it takes it to a totally different level for me as a therapist. And I like that eclectic approach, because it's kind of like a family practitioner. You work with all pieces of the individual. And I think that's what I like most about my practice.
I like what you're saying. I used to work for a therapy company in Overland Park, Kansas. And that was the biggest thing, is that team approach, because if you don't get everyone doing working towards the same goal and understanding what's going to work best for that individual, as well as the family, as well as the individuals that are surrounding that family and the individual, you're not going to get the carryover. You're not going to get the buy-in. You're not going to get the results that you want. Would you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think it's so easy to see what is going on with children, because I think that they are, it's easier for us to see that, because they're not as guarded, perhaps, as adults become as we get older.
Sure, sure.
And I think that when you're watching the child in a dynamic with the family, or in the relationship with their parents or other siblings, et cetera, boy, you get a whole different picture of that child and what is going on, and how kids imitate what's going on at home. It does filter into other relationships, such as on the playground or in the classroom, you know, mm-hmm. those kind of dynamics. And so we can address that in the school, but boy, it's nice to be able to go to the relationship at home. And it's not that the relationships at home are broken. It's just sometimes we need to pull in those parents, obviously, to help extend, really pull out the positives in those kiddos, you know, and we need that team approach from the parents to help do that as well.
All right. Well, I can't believe it, but we're already towards the end of our first segment, and we're going to be back in just a little bit. This is Hashtag Everyone talking about Hashtag Everything. Penny will be back with us, and we're going to talk a little bit about cognitive behavior therapy and also, you know, the resiliency of children. All right. Have a great, blessed Sunday. We'll see you in a bit. Hashtag Everyone talking about Hashtag Everything.
Branching Out LLC, a premier lawn and landscaping service that can meet all your residential and commercial needs. Regardless of the season, Branching Out offers a service for maintenance-free outside living. Branching Out takes the time to listen to your needs and ensure it's done correctly the first time. If you're not satisfied, Branching Out is not satisfied. To contact Branching Out, call 573-501-0760 or visit them at www.branchingoutllc.com.
I learn, I speak, I care. Hashtag every child. Down country, because every child is a gift. Every child can learn, and every child learns differently. Up at downcountry.com. Up at downcountry.com or call 217-617-3568, 217-617-3568, or visit Down Country on Facebook or Twitter. Hashtag every child.
When severe weather threatens, you want to stay ahead of the storm. Turn to WGEM Chief Meteorologist Mike Cole.
This is for northwestern sections of Lee County, Iowa. Take shelter right now.
Approved by the American Meteorological Society. Leading a team of meteorologists, tracking storms with the most advanced technology. And the WGEM News team, nationally recognized for excellence in storm coverage. It's the team you can trust. WGEM Storm Track Weather.
Welcome back. It's Hashtag Everyone, talking about Hashtag Everything. I'm Kate Doherty and co-host Keely Rager. Our guest today is Penny Ippinson, and we're going to go right in to talking about cognitive behavior therapy, because actually it's pretty rare in this area, and it's a really unique form of therapy, one that I think makes a whole lot of sense. So Penny, do you want to kind of lead off and explain what cognitive behavior therapy is versus quote-unquote more traditional therapy?
Well, and it is one of the things that is kind of hard to describe. But cognitive behavioral therapy is focusing on the thinking process of a behavior, of your relationships, et cetera, and focusing in on the different aspects of being in charge of what you're doing. In our society, I think it's so easy to place blame somewhere else. And this allows, I always like to use the saying of look in the mirror versus looking through the window and seeing what's wrong outside the window, instead look at the mirror and say, okay, what can this person in front of me be doing differently to make things better for myself? And so that's a very broad way of describing that cognitive therapy. It's responsibility-based. It's helping you to be in charge of your life. And in our society right now, I think that is just really where we need to be going.
Well, yeah, and I think earlier we talked about misconceptions with therapy, but I think also kind of traditional therapy is stereotypically viewed as talking about your feelings.
Couch therapy.
Yeah. However, one of the things that personally I find really attractive about cognitive versus quote unquote more traditional therapy is, you know what? You can feel any way you want to feel. That's totally allowable. What's not allowable is, well, I'm mad at Keely, so I'm going to punch her in the nose. Like, that's not okay. Or I'm
please don't.
Or I'm sitting in a classroom and it's okay to feel frustrated. Like, nobody controls your feelings. Those are uniquely and divinely your own. Those are allowable. However, our physical actions are, you know, I cannot throw a book at my teacher. I cannot overturn my desk. I cannot, you know, destroy my house if I'm, you know, mad. That those things have negative impacts on myself, my person, and my surroundings. And so one of the things that I like when I watch you do cognitive behavior therapy is, you know, helping people breathe through and also recognizing their triggers for what forms those behaviors.
Right. Self-awareness. Mm-hmm. That's
Absolutely.
Really your key component here. And understanding how you can be more in tune with what's going on inside. And now how can I react appropriately?
Well, and I was trained as a reality therapist, which is sister to the cognitive behavior approach. And I love the analogy they had used. It's like driving a car, and I use this a lot in therapy, is that, yes, absolutely, your feelings are very valid, and there's nothing wrong with your feelings, and nobody can tell you your feelings are wrong, but your feelings don't always have to be in the driver's seat, and that your cognitive, your brain, and your thinking should be in the driver's seat. And so I always tell you that example for kids and adults is that, yes, your feelings should not always be making your decisions. Because even though you might be mad at Kate.
It happens. Sorry, Kate. It happens.
Can't fathom.
And after you take that deep breath and you try to get that control over who you are, a happy person, your physical control, which then calms down your emotions, and it becomes calming down the whole part of your body, and then that allows your brain to get back into that driver's seat of the car and to help you to make decisions that are good, that are better, that do not have great consequences, because your feelings could get you some consequences you may not want to have later on,
Right.
So I like that analogy, because every age can understand the driver's seat.
Absolutely.
And we want your brain to be in the driver's seat.
And when you're calm, you have better problem-solving skills, better ability to process what's going on, and that will then run right into your social behavior, you know, and how you're engaging with others. So, because I too, Kate, don't want to, you know, jump over the table at you. but you know, and
I'm really happy with her, just so everybody listening knows. Like...
No, we actually have a great relationship. But the thing that we've learned about each other, and I'm sure you talk about these things, is it's okay to talk about, you know, those emotions and those feelings. And honestly, we had a great conversation yesterday. I'm like, Kate, I think I really ticked you off this weekend. And I just want to approach that conversation and let you know, I think it came out wrong, you know, so there's just lots of good stuff. But I have a question. So when you are treating, are you able to co-treat with other therapists?
Oh, absolutely. Yes, with other therapists, with doctors. I also pulled in grandmas and grandpas.
So what does that look like? When you're with other professionals, let's say, do they come with you? Do you go to them? What? Just paint me a picture.
Well, I'm not sure how I could paint a picture other than absolutely I get on the phone and I call doctors or to coordinate those services, because you know, especially with physicians, they have such a short little segment of time to be with their patients. And I have more of that opportunity to have a conversation with the clients, et cetera. And so we can share information back and forth.
Sure.
And then as far as like pulling in other family members, obviously that's something that we decide together as with the parents, et cetera. Hey, what if we brought in grandma and she takes care of your son, you know, 5 days a week? Let's pull that person in, or let's get a release so that I could talk to the daycare, so we can just get that big global picture as to what is going on with this child, and then kind of go from there. And I really do feel like most people are very welcoming to that approach, because I think what I run into in our community is that we all know everybody has something great to offer to this person. And we all have the different strengths that we're bringing in to help this child or adult to do well. And I think everybody's very welcoming of that. So that's kind of what it looks like.
Well, and you've worked with teachers as well, haven't you?
I mean, like, oh, absolutely. I didn't think about that. Hey, we're on summer vacation. I didn't think about teachers.
It's coming up quicker than you think.
I was going to say, I was pretty sure you've worked with some teachers.
Oh, yes,
and
absolutely. Yes, I didn't even think about teachers. Yes, absolutely. Teachers are incredibly important. And I like going into the school. Oh, my gosh. I love going into the school and seeing that kid in their environment and working with the teacher, because they have such a different perspective than I do when I spend an hour with the kiddo, you know.
Well, and kids behave differently, don't they? They behave differently at home. They behave differently at school. I mean, those that I don't think people always factor in those different environments. I mean, I hear that a lot. Like, oh, well, the kid only does it here. Well, you know, what's going on within that particular environment that's causing the trigger? And when you actually go in and see it, you can, I think, you troubleshoot very effectively.
Well, absolutely. And I think sometimes I know it has been very beneficial if I have had that conversation with the teacher, because then that helps me to communicate to the parents what's going on in the classroom, because it is so easy, I think, at times for, you know, us to not understand what happens in the school system. And so I could kind of almost become that liaison kind of sorter, or that bridge kind of person, that so that we can all start working together as a team, you know, because, you know, the parents send the children to school all day, and it's kind of hard to sometimes know exactly what all is going on.
Oh, it is. It is. And I think one of the things people sometimes forget is not everybody has a positive school experience. It's kind of like some people are phobic about hospitals and doctors and, quite frankly, therapists, you know. But I think depending on what your preconceptions are going into that, it does all those factors interplay into the relationships. And so I find it fascinating. So,
yes. Yes. And if I could add, I kind of piggybacking off of what you guys had said earlier in our segment, is that therapy is a conversation with a goal, you know, and I think it's just, we sit down together, we talk about our different perspectives on what's going on in a marriage or with a child or any dynamic, whatever the person comes to my session with, and we have a conversation with a goal, which, what are we trying to accomplish here? What are you wanting to get out of this? How are you wanting things to be better for your child or for your marriage or for whatever? And I think that happens. So even with the teacher, because the teachers are there wanting the best for these kids. They want these kids to succeed. And I think that's what my therapy is like when I have people in my therapy, is that, hey, let's have a conversation. I want it to be relaxed. Let's come up with a plan together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. No, I think it's awesome. And I can't believe it. We're coming to the end of our second segment. We're going to be coming right back. But for right now, we're going to take a brief break. And it's hashtag everyone talking about hashtag everything. We'll be back in a bit.
Branching Out LLC, a premier lawn and landscaping service that can meet all your residential and commercial needs. Regardless of the season, Branching Out offers a service for maintenance-free outside living. Branching Out takes the time to listen to your needs and ensure it's done correctly the first time. If you're not satisfied, Branching Out is not satisfied. To contact Branching Out, call 573-501-0760 or visit them at www.branchingoutllc.com.
I learn, I speak, I care. Hashtag every child. Down country. Because every child is a gift. Every child can learn, and every child learns differently. Up at downcountry.com. Up at downcountry.com or call 217-617-3568. 217-617-3568 or visit Downcountry on Facebook or Twitter. Hashtag every child.
When severe weather threatens, you want to stay ahead of the storm. Turn to WGEM Chief Meteorologist Mike Cole.
This is for northwestern sections of Lee County, Iowa. Take shelter right now.
Proved by the American Meteorological Society. Leading a team of meteorologists, tracking storms with the most advanced technology. And the WGEM News Team, nationally recognized for excellence in storm coverage. It's the team you can trust. WGEM Storm Track Weather.
Welcome back. It's hashtag everyone talking about hashtag everything. I'm Kate Doherty, and this is with co-host Keely Rager, and we have Penny Ippinson today, and we're talking about cognitive behavior therapy. And off air, these ladies just had a really fantastic conversation, because talking about how hard it is to really find and find that right fit with this, and to truly even understand what it is you're looking for, what it is you're needing. So,
well, and Penny, one of the things you and I were just chatting about was not only finding something, which is, you know, who is out here? Who's in our rural tri-state area that can actually do what you do? Because I know that your roster gets filled up pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. You know, and this is something where you and I were discussing that it is a trust factor, and there's not always a good fit, and it, you know, different therapists take different approaches, but we were kind of looking online, just seeing where we could go. And by no means are we recommending anything here at this point, but you know, you don't know what you're getting mm-hmm. when you're, you know, you're looking for anything. I mean, I've been that person. I've been that mom where I'm like, I've got to find this resource, and you don't know what you're getting until you get in there. You want to elaborate mm-hmm. a little bit there, Penny?
I do. And I, what I've always strived for is that when somebody makes a contact to me, leaves me a message indicating they're wanting therapy, I always call them back, because I want them to have that opportunity to have a conversation with me to start feeling that connection. But also, it's going to help me to know if I'm the right person for them, because I know where my strengths and where my weaknesses are.
Oh,
and I want to make sure we're a good fit. And I love that dynamic, because I can do some of that connecting ahead of time And absolutely, once you get into that therapy session, it is about having that relationship and having that trust to feel comfortable. I oftentimes have that this experience, and I totally love it, is when they come back. I had a kid, you know, when they were like 6 years old, and they come back when they're 8, or they come back when they're 12. And it just becomes like a developmental therapist where I'm just kind of popped in every so often upon their request or the parents' request. And I do this this therapy along the ages. And I love that because that says so much about how there is that trust there and that comfort, and that they seek therapy for guidance. And much the same as what you had spoke about earlier, Kate, is, you know, it doesn't have to be broken to go into therapy. Sometimes you just need to do things to prevent things from becoming broken. Or maybe you do have a past that isn't as solid, and this helps you to keep that path and keep that direction. And it is about trust. It's about having a conversation with a person and building that trust, you know, short term or long term.
Well, I think therapy done properly helps an individual self-actualize, you know, I mean, become the best that they can be. And I also think that people, you know, if it's not the right fit, like, it is therapy.
Exactly.
You don't stay, you know, if it's not the right fit and you aren't going anywhere, it's like a truck stuck in the mud, you know.
Yeah.
Hey, you need to stay, put it in four-wheel drive and, you know, either get out of there. You know, that's okay to do too. I mean,
stuck in the mud.
Well, but you know.
But I get it. I get it. I just love your analogies. They're wonderful.
I do too. I think she's a hoop.
But I do too.
I think there is something about, you had, one of you had mentioned earlier about not liking what the therapist said. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. If it doesn't feel good as far as that relationship and that connection with that therapist, and then on top of it, that person tells you something and you're like, yeah, I don't like that. Mm-hmm. Then yes, you need to find another therapist. However, if you have that relationship with somebody, and this has happened numerous times, and I tell you something you don't like, mm-hmm. you're going to listen to it because you know that there's some substance to what I had said. We hear a lot of things we don't like, mm-hmm. but it doesn't mean we don't need to listen to it. You know, and I think if you have that relationship and you have that comfort with a therapist, then you're able to grow in a different way because you're looking at things a little differently.
Mm-hmm. How many therapy sessions do you think, on average, someone should give it as a shot? You know, because I can just see someone hearing this saying, well, I don't like, you know, didn't like what that therapist had to say my first 15 minutes, so I'm going to jump to someone else, and then I'm going to jump to someone else. And you never get a chance to build that rapport, that trust factor. So, I mean, is there a good length of time that you would recommend, or give it a couple sessions, three sessions?
You know, I think the recommendation generally is, like with EAPs, et cetera, is that three sessions to really address issues, et cetera. But when my experience is, I would say 5-6 to really get to feeling comfortable with that person and being able to really open up. Now, if after that first session is just totally a sandpaper relationship,
sure.
It's just, it just feels yucky and nasty. Oh my gosh, bail, get out and go find another one.
But yes,
you know, but I think I know oftentimes I want one more session with that person because I think, oh, we're at a point where I think they can go to the next step, you know, and I think oftentimes it does take several sessions to really feel that comfort. Sure, three sessions is good, but boy, when people make that commitment, I just love to see that blossoming as they make more of a commitment.
Well, we are so thankful that you're in this area, and we would love to know if there were more cognitive behavioral therapists out there. So Kate, why don't you give them a way that maybe they could connect with us and just have resources built up?
Well, I'm going to recommend that anybody wanting to know more about this, go to upatdowncountry.com. We'll put a link to some different therapy resources on the website and as well as a Facebook post at Down Country. And believe it or not, ladies, this is hashtag everyone talking about hashtag everything, and we're out of time. Have a blessed Sunday. Tired of